What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's up, fellas? Welcome back to Convos Over Cold Brew with me, your host, Emma Abrahamson. Today's episode is kind of different. We're doing an in-person podcast, which I almost never do, but I'm here in New York City right now. Today, it's actually Wednesday, March 16th, but I'm leaving today. I recorded this episode a couple days ago with Mary Kane, who you guys, I'm sure, are familiar with. She is the founder of an elite team here in New York City called Atalanta. It is also a nonprofit. She's doing a lot of cool things in the running world. She also just transitioned into triathlon. She joined the USAT CRP a couple months ago, and it's been awesome to follow her journey and also just talk to her about a bunch of different things on this podcast. So I hope you guys enjoy today's episode. We just hit 1,000 reviews on Apple Podcasts. Oh my gosh, you guys are the best. I literally was so excited when we finally got to that 1K number. It's so awesome to see how much you guys love the podcast. Sometimes it's hard for me because I don't, you know, see people in person and like talk to them about my podcast very much. So it's nice to just get, I guess, validation when it comes to your guys' ratings and reviews on Apple Podcasts. So it means the world and it helps me out so much. So I really appreciate it. Now let's get into today's episode with Mary. Before we get into today's episode, I want to talk about one of my favorite sponsors of the podcast who have been supporting me for over a year now, like basically since the podcast started, and that is Green Chef. Green Chef is a CCOF certified meal kit company. They make eating well easy with plans to fit every kind of lifestyle. So whether you're keto, paleo, vegan, vegetarian, gluten-free, or you're just looking to eat more balanced meals, Green Chef offers a range of recipes to suit your preferences. Their expert chefs curate every recipe so you can enjoy nutritious, restaurant-quality dishes at home without compromising on taste. Right now, you can go to greenchef.com/coldbrew130 and use code coldbrew130 to get $130 off plus free shipping. That is greenchef.com/coldbrew130 and use code coldbrew130 to get $130 off plus free shipping. Mary Kane, I'm so excited to have you on my podcast. Since I started this in like 2020, I feel like you have been on like top of my list of being a guest on the podcast. So thank you for coming on. And also we're doing it live, which I think I've done one live podcast before out of like all my episodes. So I'm excited. Thank you for inviting me into your home as well.
Yeah, of course. And thanks for coming up. It makes it so much easier for me.
I know. It was just quick, like 30 minutes on the subway. It's all good.
Yeah, that's the thing people don't know about New York, where it's like everything is 30 minutes away.
Yeah.
I don't understand how the math works, but like I was down in Battery City today. That's 30 minutes away. Midtown's 30 minutes away. Like Van Cortlandt's 30 minutes away. Like it doesn't make sense.
No, literally. It's so true. I didn't even look at the maps. I was like, oh, probably 30 minutes away. I look, it's exactly 30 minutes on my Google Maps.
100%.
And I was like, good. Planning for this. We love it. Well, in case people don't know who you are, which would be surprising. Do you want to just like tell the podcast a little bit about yourself?
Sure. That's so funny. I haven't been asked to do that in a while, so I feel like my answer is going to leave so many holes because I feel like I'm 25 and yet I've lived like 40 different lives.
You're telling me. Like, I feel like I move every 5 seconds. So people are like, oh, I don't know anything about you. Like, give me, even my friends, they're like, okay, what's new? What's like, what's changed in your life? Like, what revolution have you had? You
100%. Know? Like, yeah. I got that from my sisters. But I guess how I'll describe myself, which is so funny. I'm Mary. I have been, I guess, within the world of sports for about a decade, which is kind of probably the main reason I'm on this podcast. and my life within the world of sports has evolved from professional runner to founder of a nonprofit and professional running team here locally, in which we employ professional female runners to not only train and race to achieve their dreams in sport, but also to give back to the next generation. And I've done a lot of kind of different work between kind of achieving those two goals, and now I'm on a new adventure of dabbling in triathlon. So yeah, it's been a long 10 years.
I'm only 25. No, same. But literally, I am so curious about like every single aspect of that because, first of all, you live in New York now. You grew up in the Bronx.
So, a misconception. I grew up in Bronxville.
Bronxville.
Which is like the opposite.
Okay.
Where we're like a snooty, like all white town in Westchester.
Okay.
Yeah.
Completely going over my head. I'm from San Diego, so I literally don't know anything about New York. You could tell me that you live, I don't even know any of the names of anything. How was like living in New York growing up? Just like being a runner?
Yeah.
Was it good?
I mean, I would say that like in a macro sense, New York was an incredibly competitive state. You understand this being from California.
Yeah.
There's two states that matter. Sorry, everybody else.
Literally, I think Fayetteville, Manlius, and anyone in California.
Yeah. It was like, I was always like one of the individual kids at NXN, and people would be like, you're from New York, or are you at FM? And I'd be like, do I look cool enough?
Do I like literally look intense and like jacked? Like,
But no, I would say it was really great competitively, because I had a lot of role models in the area, even just like having like the New Jersey kids,
mm-hmm.
Of course being like 2 years under Ajay Wilson made it so that like, you know, so many people now ask me like, who are your role models growing up? And they expect me to like insert like Insta model running girl. And I'm always like, I don't know, like the girls who were around me, who were at like my county meet and then my state meet and then nationals.
Mm-hmm.
And I was lucky to have a lot of people who were, even when I was on the national level, still very local, who I could look up to. So I think, you know, in that sense, it was really awesome. But I think on the opposite end of that, it also kind of exposed me to like the toxic side of running, on like the high school circuit, of just like way too competitive parents who were just in that world of like, our kids go to the Olympics. While I would be much more the person who's like, I had fun and I'm gonna go get a milkshake. And again, I'm sure being from California, like you relate to that, where there's a privilege that comes from coming from like a wealthy community. And I think, you know, I had the opportunities to see a lot of the sport, mm-hmm. as a result.
Yeah, that's like so interesting. I always wondered what it was like in New York because, yeah, from California, it's like you see everyone looks so intense and everything. But California was the same. I mean, you kind of, because it's such a big state, you have a mix of everything. But Southern California, especially, like I ran youth track and field too, and it was like just as intense. It's just very, very interesting to see like the just differences between different states. But how did you get into running in general?
Yeah, so I grew up a swimmer,
mm-hmm.
And that was, like, my primary sport up until, I would say, like, 8th grade. But all throughout elementary school, if you asked me what sports I did, I would have been like, I swim and I run. Now, looking back, I, like, ran in gym class, and, like, there was 1 week at the end of the year where we had, like, track, and I'm just like, what? I didn't run? What am I talking about? But, like, I knew from a very young age that I was like the best kid in the school. And I would look back now and like, it wasn't cockiness. It was just like, I had such an inner, like, yeah, I'm a good runner. Like, yeah,
it was just the truth.
Like, honestly. So in 5th grade, it had become pretty well known that I was like very fast. And again, this probably also just highlights like how weird of a town I grew up in, where like people did care a lot about running, and in such a way that they were like watching like random fourth graders and being like, oh, this guy like kind of creepy, honestly. And so I did a mile time trial as a fifth grader, and I ran like 6:10, and then a year later I ran a 5:47 mile. And so, you know, by the time I was in sixth grade, there was this kind of like, hey, you could be on like the varsity track team. So what I decided to do going into seventh grade was I swam in the fall and swam in the winter, and then come the spring I decided to do my first ever season of track, and I guess that's really when I like started running in a not just 1 week of the year in gym class sort of way.
Yeah, that makes sense. I like, you were so good in high school. I'm like very curious how that was for you, just being so good. I mean, I was like, I was roommates with Sarah Baxter. Like, I don't know, it's just being such an icon. How was that? Like, did you know that you were an icon? I guess in the running world, it's just so curious. I need your point of view on what that was like.
So had you asked me when I was in high school, I would have been like, Emma, three people run, so three people know who I am. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that was the world that I lived in. And I think what part of it is that I grew up in such a small town that truthfully, like, people were pretty mean to me on my track team. And looking back, I'm like, I ran really, really well, and parents were crazy, and they wanted their kids to win. And it makes sense why I kind of went through this, like, weird bullying situation as a kid. But I think because I kind of had this, like, not super great team experience, I was much more like, my friends are the kids who were in school with me, and my three sisters don't run, and my parents don't know what's going on. And so I almost was in this bubble, which I think was both amazing, but also kind of set me up to be very naive to like the inner workings of sport outside of kind of this high school space. So pros and cons.
Yeah. Being so good, like, what do you think made, like, was it the training? Do you think it was just natural talent? Like, people, like, because people ask me all the time, they're like, I don't know, because you kind of know that you're good right away, but was there anything that you did specifically in high school where you're like, this is what made me, like, super amazing?
I honestly really, really, really worry about kids right now.
Really?
Yeah, because I think they actually are training in a way that, like, honestly, they just weren't.
Did you see yesterday that girl ran a 9:44? I almost threw up.
I'm just hoping it's the shoes. And, like, I've had this conversation with people where people are like, oh my god, like, everybody's close to breaking records. And first of all, I'm like, amazing. Go get them. Go crush them. Like, please. That's amazing. But I'm also sitting there like, I didn't really train for those times. And you just see some of these girls now and the way they're kitted out, and you're just like, if I can give them one piece of advice, it's like, you know, maybe you should only run in, like, 40 miles a week. Like, if you're really doing that much more than that, like, make sure it's because you've built up to that point and not because, like, you're watching a professional marathoner on Strava run 130 miles a week, you know? And I think that's where, for me, it's like, there's programs, especially in college, that you do see, like, seem to be doing it really, really, really well with progressing girls now. But other programs, yeah, some of these girls are probably looking at them like, I'm going to have to run 100 miles a week when I join there, so I better be at 80 now. And I'm just like,
80 miles.
Me and Emma were like going on ice cream runs back in the day.
Literally, I was beelining into McDonald's to get an ice cream cone in the middle of the
night. Because we didn't have, and like I say this as like, we're old ladies now, because we didn't have social media.
It's all social media.
All social media. And I think my only regret in some ways about the times that I ran when I did is that I wish I could have jumped up and down and been screaming like, I don't really do very much, like, back off, kid. Like, don't necessarily look at these and be like, I have to run this time because Mary did.
Yeah,
do it because, like, you're like, I'm naturally progressing to there. I don't know.
Naturally talented and
and like going there. And I think I say a lot of this because I do love this sport so much, and I think sometimes I just hope I had a positive impact on it. And I sometimes look at you know, the like big picture of my career, and I believe that I did. But sometimes it's like those tough times that I maybe set. I'm just like, I hope girls, you should never be comparing yourself to anything. And if anything, you should be hearing what I say and be like, girl, I'm running 20 miles a week and beating that time. Like, don't tell me go 40. Like, that's what I want somebody to come at me with that energy.
Yeah. What about, like, puberty? Like, how did you navigate that? Do you think you could have done, like, a better job of navigating it? Because I look back, going through puberty and everything, it's, like, such a hard time.
100%.
Of, like, especially being a female in the sport. Like, it just... It's a rough time period. A lot of, like, high school girls, college girls go through it. What was, like, your experience?
Yeah. So, I think my experience was the New York Times piece. Where, like, in retrospect, I think a lot of what was happening to me during that time was, I think I went through, like, I got my period not late. Like, I had it natural. Like, this is actually within, like, for my family, what's, like, reasonable, but yeah. I didn't get it until my sophomore year of high school. So
I didn't get mine until I was 22, so.
Yeah. And, like, the thing is, everybody progresses differently, but I remember when I got it, it was one of those things where I started probably going through puberty more like, you know, it kind of usually takes a while. So, like, probably that sophomore year of high school through sophomore year of college was when I was going through the bulk of it. And I just look back at that time and, you know, early on when I was at home and I was surrounded by family, it was this very positive, like, of course, like, we're still gonna go out for milkshakes. And then, you know, the Oregon Project situation happened, and there was such a, like, you have to fight your body. And I think if I, of course, could have done anything differently, it would have been put up my middle finger to that and been like, hell no, like, girls gotta eat. And so I would say for a lot of young people, I think the narrative has changed around puberty, where it's like, this should be something that's, like, respected, celebrated, supported, and not suppressed, fought against, and seen as a negative. But I think sometimes what's hard for kids is that, you know, and this is something that I talk to some of my really close friends in sport about, is that I just hope sometimes people are really understanding that, like, you can talk the talk and walk the walk, right? Because I do feel some of the people who talk about these issues are kind of like me, who you're like, well, she doesn't really run very much anymore. And I think sometimes it's some of the women who've been very, very successful in sport, who I think we need to sometimes hear a little bit more from them. And even if it's the honest, like, yeah, I didn't do it well, or it, like, whatever, I just think that would be more helpful if we still kept pushing this. Like, it's not a, Mary, check that off by doing the New York Times piece and traumatizing everybody, now we move on.
Stop.
Like, let's keep talking about it.
Yeah. No, I agree. And, I mean, I feel like you just don't, especially in our generation, because there was no social media or anything, it's like, you had no idea how to handle it, really. 100%. And, I mean, even coaches don't know how to handle it. No. Like, a lot of the time, I feel like it is getting better because more people are talking about it, but I do agree that it needs to be, like, talked about more, just, like, the entire process of going through puberty and people's experiences, because, like, I mean, it is possible to get through it and, like, become a better runner. Like, obviously, it's possible. Like, you need to go through puberty to become a better runner. Like,
yes.
But like you said, the more you fight against it, like, the worse it is. So, I mean, I always preach, like, just letting your body do
100%.
Whatever it needs to do, especially, like, in high school.
Yes.
Eat all the food, let your body, like, gain weight, let your hips widen. Like, things will work out in the end, but the more you fight it, the worse it becomes. And I do think, like, I mean, with your piece and everything and just, like, people being more open, I feel like it is becoming a more, like, talked about topic. But, yeah, I mean, it'll just be, like, interesting to see, I don't know, over the course of the next couple of years or, like, the next 20 years, like, how big of an impact social media has on everything.
Yes.
With, like, the future generation of runners, everything with, like, puberty, eating disorders in the running world. Like, I'm just so curious to see, but I don't know. It's awesome, like, people like you just being so open about your experience, and I always just admire people that are, like, vulnerable in the running world, because it's hard. No one, I don't know. I feel like no one, it's, like, so secretive that,
yeah.
And small world.
It is. And I this is actually a conversation I recently had with somebody where I was trying to give them constructive criticism about some of the ways they've been handling social media. And I think how I kind of look at the future is I'm like, I think it'll generally be better, but I think it's going to be worse in some ways because of social media. And what I was kind of saying to this one woman was that, you know, if you're going to become an advocate in something, like, you actually have to educate yourself. Like, you have to put in the time, you have to put in the work, you have to get uncomfortable. Like, it's really hard. And I think a lot of people after my piece were kind of like, oh, I'm a runner, I'm a woman, I'm gonna start talking about these issues. And I just kind of sit there like, please stop. Because to a degree, that's good. But when you to put it kind of bluntly, like, if you have women who are maybe talking about some of these issues and, like, clearly still have an eating disorder, right? Like, based on their mannerisms, based on how they post, based on things they talk about around food, you're kind of just left being like, this isn't the best thing to do, because you're going to have a young girl looking at that person being like, well, they say they have a healthy relationship with food and they look like that, so I should look like that. And I think, you know, there's so much need in social media for, like, everybody to feel like they're relevant on topics. And I think it's creating this situation where, like, some of these issues are becoming almost watered down, because, like, every woman who's always posting a picture of themselves with six-pack abs, like, at some point has a sponsor that tells them they should talk about periods, and they hashtag periods. And then I'm just sitting there in the corner screaming into a void, like, help, stop, everybody. And this sounds very, like, critical, and that's not the intention I'm really trying to have, but it's more to say that a lot of people haven't worked through their shit yet. And until you've done that, and until you've really taken the time to be like, hey, either I have a problem, or the sport has a problem, or we all have a problem, it's just, you're kind of just, like, looking at your circle of friends who all look and think the same, and you're kind of diminishing this really, really important message to young people. And so I think, to me, I'm like, if you're, whether a young person or a pro or whoever you are in this board, take a look at your social media presence and be like, okay, what am I posting? Like, is this always me in a sports bra and shorts? Like, you know, maybe this is an opportunity for me to, like, think about, like, hey, are there ways for me to, like, pull other people into these shots? And it's not that I'm saying, like, hide your body from people, but it's more like, if it's always this kind of, like, you know, you're really only following all the other white runners, or, like, you're only following fellow professionals, and you're not seeing people, like, across the spectrum of sport, or people with different opinions, or people who are doing things differently, I think it can just get you into a mindset of, like, this is normal. Mm-hmm. And then maybe you're not always communicating the right message in your shirtless photo.
Yeah.
Right? If you want to do that every single day, awesome. Go for it. But maybe make sure the message isn't always like, I'm body positive, but I weigh 100 pounds. Mm-hmm. That's probably not helping people. And I don't know. I guess I say all this with the, like, mindset that, like, I know people follow me and are looking to me and asking me questions. And not everybody necessarily has that pressure. But I also feel like whether you have one follower or 5 million, you know, you should be a little bit conscientious of, like, how is this affecting other people, and is there, you know, trying to minimize your harm.
Mm-hmm. I'm very curious, like, what do you think would help, like, the female running world right now? I mean, there's obviously, like, I mean, from my perspective, there is a big problem with, I mean, body image, body dysmorphia, eating disorders. Like, what do you think is a solution, or what do you think would help benefit the community in general in that sense?
To me right now, there's, like, one word that I always come back to, and it's agency. And what I mean by that is I feel there's a lot of people who, at the end of the day, do not realize their power and, like, do not realize the voice they could have and the things they could do. And as a result, we have this kind of, like, just put it kind of blunt, like, fake sense of empowerment within the professional running world, where it's like a lot of people who are on the same teams that always existed, have the same sponsorship model that ever existed, are working with the same agents that have always been around, are now just kind of, like, using hashtags to say, like, we're happy International Women's Sports Day, and you're just kind of looking at them like, honey, like, I know the position you're in, and it's one in which it's a very fear-driven system where your power is by how you look and how fast you are, based on just how you are paid. Like, we are paid to run fast, unless you're pretty and then you maybe get paid a little more, right? Like, I'm sorry, that is the system. And everybody who wants to turn a blind eye to it isn't being real about that. And you see these things really come to a head in moments where, you know, there was a top agent who was accused, and it was reported on across multiple media outlets that he was, like, abusing NCAA athletes. And there was not a professional woman who stood up and said anything about it. And sometimes, you know, I'm in this position where, you know, I don't know this individual personally. I've actually never interacted with people within that group. But you hear the secondhand stories about them. You hear the third-hand stories about them. You hear the fourth. I mean, this sport is small.
It's so small.
And you're sitting here being like, these are the same women who are hashtagging International Women's Day, and then they can't stand up to the NCAA girls to, like, support them who are abused by this man? Like, I'm sorry. The reason that's a thing is because people are scared to leave somebody like that. People are scared because that guy bullies them, too. And they might post things and say things, we might feel we're going in the right direction, but when you have a structure that only gives people opportunities by how fast they are and how they look, it really does create so much fear. And so I think the only way for things to really change is for it to be like, let's burn that model down. Let's say, no, that's not the only way that we can support ourselves. I can have a voice, I can have a say, I have meaning outside of just those two things.
Mm-hmm.
And in a lot of ways, that's why I structured my organization the way I did. And it's because I think there's a lot of people who want to create change, but they do not realize that at its core, they don't have a voice right now. And until you take that power back into your hands, you know, there is this always existing pressure. And I don't see anybody standing up against it, besides maybe the people who did go off and find contracts for themselves that aren't structured around that. Like, it's not to literally say it's just me on an island. Like, I do not want that to come across. But there are very, very few people. And I think that's why, to go on this tangent, sprinters, jumpers, and throwers tend to be some of the best advocates that we actually see within our sport. And the reason is because they are just not financially supported by the sport. Like, they hustle and have to get extra work. They go out and they find other ways to support themselves. Like, they are not paid 90% of the time in the traditional model. And as a result, you have people like Gwen Berry who are out really kind of fighting the good fight of sport. And I think it's because they comparatively have agency, but in a way where you're like, why do they have to go create something for themselves? So it's like, it's this flawed system of, like, you're either outside of it or you're in it, and I just feel we could find something in the middle.
Today's episode is brought to you by Inside Tracker. When you do what you love, like running, like racing, like enjoying the great outdoors, you want to do it for life, and Inside Tracker can help. Inside Tracker was founded in 2009 by leading scientists in aging, genetics, and biometrics. Using their patented algorithm, Inside Tracker analyzes your body's data to provide you with a clear picture of what's going on inside you and to offer you science-backed recommendations for positive diet and lifestyle changes. Then, Inside Tracker tracks your progress every day, every step of the way, towards reaching your performance goals and living a longer and healthier life. They also have these awesome new recovery pro tips, and they take personalized health recommendations to the next level by offering you science-backed recovery techniques conveniently delivered right after wrapping up your workout. Today, I did a 60-minute bike workout, and let's see what my recovery pro tip is for the day. I just opened up the app. Right now, it's saying that my... my deep sleep was a little low at 5%. That's not very good. And they're telling me to control the temperature and humidity in my bedroom to help me get more deep sleep. This is the kind of personalized insight that's typically experienced with exclusive and expensive sports dietitians and other professionals. And now it's available to you within the Inside Tracker app. Right now, you can get 20% off the entire Inside Tracker store. Just go to insidetracker.com/Emma to get that 20% off. Link is in the show notes.
I'm also curious though, because it's like, there's not money in professional. I mean, there is money if you're the best in professional running.
Mm-hmm.
how do you think that there could be more money in the sport for, like, the sprinters, jumpers, throwers? Like, how can people make a living? Like, I don't know. Everyone talks about everyone, like, all the agents, everyone. They want to change the sport. They want to bring more people into it. Like, do we add gambling? Do we do this? Mm-hmm. How do you think that we can bring more money into the sport of track and field for the professional athletes that are working their butts off to try to make a living off of it?
100%. Why are there only 10 companies that pay people? Like, let's just start right there. Like, there are running shoe brands that pay people.
I'm always curious, like, why is it only shoes?
Because it's only been shoes.
But is there, like...
Like, a body in motion stays in motion, a body at rest stays at rest. Like, we have been this model since track existed.
Is there rules, like, against, like, within USATF that you can't have other sponsors, like, on your jerseys and stuff?
So that has been part of the problem. Yeah. USATF has gotten better. I feel, like, pain to even say a word like that to describe USATF. But there's rules around, like, now I think you can have, like, one extra thing. Like, there's totally problems, 100%. But we have social media now. Like, races, in a way, aren't all that matter. Like, there are other things. Like, if anything, some of the top runners I think about, like, God, me and Alexi don't even really run. We're probably like, the top 10 most well-known runners. Because there's things you can be doing outside of running. Like, you're a runner when you are not running. There are 24 hours in a day. You're not running for 24 hours. And I think the more we start looking at things with that mindset, the more you start enticing other brands. I mean, Alexi brought Champion within the sport of running. Like, that was not a thing until Alexi Pappas. Now there are other athletes who are sponsored by Champion. Thank you, Alexi Pappas. Like, the more you have people like that who are saying, like...
We're going against the norms.
100%.
Yeah.
And of course, like, that's still within the brand sphere of, like... apparel, and it makes sense because that's, you know, there's like this marketing concept of like endemic brands, mm-hmm. and that is endemic because it's kind of like a like obvious path within the world of sports, but I think there are ways to bring in sponsors that are outside of that, and I think, you know, the more we bring non-endemic brands into the picture, they're going to want to support teams. They're going to want to support individuals because they are something more than sports. Like, you have so many people who want to support sports and would be excited to have the opportunity. But it just means having people who are willing to say, hey, I'm going to put in the time, I'm going to put in the effort, and I'm going to really work hard. And the problem is, right now, who's incentivized to work hard?
That's what I'm saying. It's like, is it really in the athlete's hands to, like...
No agency. That's why agency is the problem.
Because, yeah.
Because here's the thing, and you're going to laugh at this when I say this. The best athletes are the coachable ones, aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
I hate that word. It makes me so angry when I hear people talk about coachability to kids. Because it's literally telling them, like, hey, shut up.
And listen to me, yeah.
Be dumb. Don't ask questions. Like, I'm in control. Like, I think the best athlete isn't that model of coachability, but it's the one who does ask questions, the one who is curious, the one who does come into things. It's just not constantly shut down. But we're in this weird world of sport where it's kind of like, if I'm not constantly recovering, I'm not gonna make it. And so people just watch TV for, like, hours and, like, stress and have existential dread. And it's, like, really sad. And, like, there's one person who I used to be friends with who honestly canceled, like, 3 dinners because they realized they had to go roll instead. Like, that is the world that we're talking about. So the athletes don't feel they have the agency to negotiate for themselves. Because even sometimes when they do, and, of course, there's some amazing agents. Like, I have some people who I absolutely love in that world, mm-hmm. who are the game changers, who are doing the right things. I love them. But you got a lot who aren't. Who at the end of the day are like, I'm going to do 1 week of work, and then you're going to pay me all year, and then I'm going to be mad and kind of mean to you all year. Like, that is a lot of people within this sport. And so the athlete's like, oh, I can't piss them off. I have to go roll. I'm not going to do anything. They have no agency. The agent's not going to go work any harder because they've got a sweet deal for a lot of the year. And then all of a sudden you're left with this kind of weird world where it's like, who's doing what? And at the end of the day, the sports apparel brands are like, we only want you in our control because that's to their best interest. And then you just end up with, like, weirdos like me who are just like, honestly, like, I have always wanted to go into an altruistic career since I was younger, and I really do just see a mission that, like, I want to grab onto, and I want to try to create change, and so I'm gonna do it, mm-hmm. But if from experience, like, it's really hard.
Yeah, I was very curious, like, that's where I was gonna pivot to next, like, how is the whole process going with Atalanta?
It's been amazing. Mm-hmm. It honestly really, really has been. I think sometimes it's soul-sucking when I make the rookie mistake of, like, dipping my toe back into the endemic space and being like, wait, maybe they are better now. And then I get shoot in the head and I'm like, oh, stop it, Mary. We already do this. Stop. Sorry, everybody. But I would say it's made, for me, the proof of concept clear that this works. Like, there are people who want to support women athletes who are doing things differently. Like, mm-hmm. End of sentence, they're 1,000,000,000% are. I think what I realize is it's hard to sometimes get from the, like, I want to the actual financial support. So, of course, if anybody's listening to this and be like, I'm one of those people, call me.
I've got money and I want to give it to you.
100%. And I think that is definitely hard to go from that, like, transitional place, but it's often the only times that I have honestly felt down in this whole time creating this is whenever I'm talking to the brands who are already in it, because they're the ones who are like, yeah, I've been talking to you for 3 months and you know what, here's a coupon code. And you're just like, wait, you've this whole time said you support this. What is it at the end of the day that makes that, like, final switch not go off? And I think it's because the brands that have benefited from the current model don't actually want to change. Yeah. You have to find brands that are outside of the current model, because they're the ones who are like, of course, why are those murderers getting away with that? I would never want to be involved in something like that. While brands that are kind of more tangent are a little bit more like, no, I've gotten away with not paying people. I've mm-hmm. gotten away with kind of like asking people to do things for free and kind of bullying them into work. And I'm saying no to that, and saying no is hard for me because I like always want to help people.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's that's been a, like, I think a really healthy experience for me, but I've got amazing people on my board who have just kind of made me have a lot more faith in not only humanity but the world of sport.
Yeah.
And it's really helped me grow as an individual and as, like, a woman in business. And so I in no way want people to think that this has been anything other than positive, because even those no's have just, like, reinforced my will to be like, hell no, we're not doing the normal three people, like, to sponsor this team or work with this team. And I think that's been, like, helpful.
Today's episode of the podcast is brought to you by Ana Luisa. Ana Luisa crafts high-quality jewelry pieces at super affordable prices. I've been wearing my Ana Luisa earrings for the past, like, 3 weeks straight, and I am genuinely obsessed. If you've been watching any of my YouTube videos recently or my Instagram stories, I've been wearing these really cute paperclip earrings. I get DMs about them every single day, and they are from Ana Luisa. And right now you can get my same earrings for 20% off and enjoy 20% off the entire Ana Luisa's website today. All you have to do is go to shop.analuisa.com/coldbrew to get that 20% off. The brand is carbon neutral from their packaging to their products. They also have super cute and unique pieces that make you feel super elegant. They have so many styles to choose from, and they would seriously make a great gift as well. The prices are super fair, with pieces starting at only $39, and new jewelry collections are released every single Friday. I also have a problem with earrings irritating my ears, and these, I've been wearing them for weeks, and they are so comfortable and very cute, and I've gotten so many compliments on them. Right now, you can go to shop.analuisa.com/coldbrew and enjoy 20% off the entire Ana Luisa's website today. That is shop.analuisa.com
LUISA.com/coldbrew. The link is in the show notes as per usual, and go get that 20% off. I'm sure that you will love all of their pieces. Now let's get back into today's episode.
How have you dealt with like negative feedback or criticism from, I mean, because obviously everything has been very public. Like, how have you dealt with that?
Yeah. So
and like just being such a, just doing something completely different. Like, yeah, just going against the norm of what, you know, professional running is and everything.
Yeah. So this is a conversation I had, I think, with Alexi. I feel like I'm going to talk about like Alexi 40 times.
Oh, I've already talked about Alexi so many times on my podcast.
I love it. She's my best friend. Oh, Alexi. But, you know, I've been like under media scrutiny since I was 12. And so that's at this point, like at least half my life. And it, you know, it's grown. Like, that 12-year-old Mary had, like, creepy old men in their basement writing about me. Like, that's not really, like, media scrutiny, per se.
Or,
like,
let's run, the, people.
The local newspaper. But, like, it still felt hard.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you're younger, you get messages from old white men who are, like, you know, just, like, toughen up, thick skin, like, get through it, like, insert Mary a deep voice. I don't even know that I sound deeper on this podcast as I did that, but that was my intention, people. And as I've gotten older, I'm like, that is the worst advice, because it's from somebody who's not emotionally intellectual. And the older you get, the more you realize, I don't have thicker skin compared to when I was 12. I'm not tougher. I'm not insert any sort of masculine phrases. But what I am is a woman who knows her shit.
Mm-hmm.
And a woman who's not afraid to be like, no, I really believe in this. Like, that's it.
Yeah, belief in yourself and what you're doing. It really helps you handle any negative comments 100%. Towards your way. Yeah.
And so the thing is, I think young people are in this really precarious situation where it's, it is hard to believe in yourself because you don't even know, like, anything.
Yeah.
You know, when I was 18, I look back at that girl and I'm just like, oh, you thought you were so smart. And, like, I'm going to look back at myself when I'm 60 and be like, that idiot.
Like, 25.
Like, don't even know what she was doing. Because that's the whole point to life, is to constantly grow and learn and evolve. And I think what's, because I've had the experience in the past of like having this media pressure, as I've gotten older, the more I realize the only way you get through it, the only way you can get through negative criticism, is just to have pure belief in yourself. And I think I've reached a point in my life where I'm like, I know more than a lot of people about like what the not so fun side of sport looks like, and I'm gonna take that experience and I'm gonna try to help people. And I believe that that is a good thing to do. And whether or not I always nail it or is not even a question. Of course, I'm going to make mistakes. Of course, there's going to be things that, just because I know that big picture item, doesn't mean I know all of the things that it takes to run a business. But the truth is, like, I am the first woman to do this within the sport of track and field. Like, I have not been able to find somebody who was a woman that started a team that is still current. Like, why the hell did we believe any of those dudes who thought they could do it? Like, I don't know. I think compared to some of the people who formed some of these teams, I've got a little bit more experience.
Yeah. I mean, it's just interesting because obviously you being such a good athlete too, it's like you have the athlete experience and just like your personality and your drive to better the sport. I think it's just a good combination, but it takes a lot, I think, for people, like, I don't know, just going against the norms of what running is, because it is so rooted for so long in like the same structure.
100%.
It just takes a specific type of person to like be able to do that. So it's like very interesting, and that's why I
agreed.
Yeah, I don't know, the whole thing, I'm just so curious just to like see how it evolves. And like, I mean, you just being the change maker, I'm sure people will be following that now. I mean, it's easy to follow.
Yeah.
Way easier to follow than, like, to pave your own way, you know? So. Yeah.
I had a conversation. I think this was probably more my mom. Sorry, Alexi. I think this was a mom. where, like, it was around some other stuff that I was going through that was kind of, like, being the first person to do something. And I was like, when the hell have I not been that person? Like, I went pro when I was 17. Like, I joined teams that were ridiculous. Like, I'm just always shooting my shot.
Mm-hmm. Love that.
Like,
see what works.
100%. And I don't do it in a kind of, like, I'm aiming completely wide and I don't know what I'm doing. Like, it's, again, comes down to that, like, belief in yourself.
Yeah.
I say none of this to pat myself on the back. I say this because I wish more people could feel that level of confidence in themselves. And I think there's two big reasons people don't, outside of the just, like, agency on the pro side. It's one, especially as a woman in sport, like, we grew up and, like, who were you looking up to? Like, we had, like, 3 or 4 girls who we could, like, run through the list. And, like, most people weren't watching women's sports on a weekly basis. They're not doing that today. Like, we have social media that makes it so it's easier to follow role models. But, like, you know, as a young girl, I wanted to be a professional athlete since the time I could dream.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I don't know, did my classmates even know that was an option? But I came from a family of 4 girls, and we were allowed to wrestle, beat the shit out of each other, race, like, create a game, wear a dress, scream. We could do whatever the hell we wanted, because that was all we had in that house. Mm-hmm. And, like, my dreams were never capped. And so in some ways, I'm like, it wasn't necessarily anything other than a naivete that I was like, oh, of course I can do this. Of course I'm allowed to believe in myself. But I realized that, like, not everybody even was brought up in a world where they could believe in themselves. And so everything that I've said before, this doesn't come from anything other than, like, a little bit of luck in just, like, what my circumstances were being brought up. Like, the privilege to be in a household where, like, you know, we could maybe spend the money on the other, like, streaming service so that I could watch, like, the women play instead of the men. Like, those things that make me want to scream into the void every single day about, like, why is Michigan women's basketball always on some shitty Big Ten network? And I say this because my boyfriend's Michigan fan. And so I'm
I was like, that's very, like, niche.
Very specific. Because I'm always like, hey, buddy, hey, let's watch some women's games. And he's like, I'm really trying. And I know that. But they'll play them at, like, 11 a.m. on a Tuesday on some, like, 4th streaming service. And you're just like, these women are, like, the best. Why are we relegating them to that? So, yeah, that was an incredibly long tangent.
No, it was good. And I'm just, like, very interested. I mean, I'm interested just in the future in general because I feel like everything is always changing. But with women's sports and everything, I feel like we are slowly moving in a direction where it's becoming more prevalent on TV just in general, like, more money and stuff. It's just, I don't know, I feel like it's, like, so slow moving.
So what I will say, and I say this as somebody who's, like, I actually am a positive person. Like, I could not be here right now if I wasn't.
Yeah.
So anytime I sound negative on this, like, I'm positive, we're going, like, get it, girl, woo. But I'm also really conscious of the fact that, like, yes, it is growing, but, like, so is the men's game. So at a certain point, we're in this weird circumstance where I worry because I don't know. Am I just following it? And that's why it seems like more? Like, does little Julie in the middle of the country who's maybe not following, like, together, just women's sports, like, all the professional women's teams within your team, like, does she see that progress? Does she feel that progress? Because that's what I want to make sure happens. And sometimes it's unclear to me how much we're just speaking to each other.
Yeah. In our own little bubbles.
Yes, versus it actually being heard to that girl. And I think that's why for so much of this stuff and so much of the work that, like, long term I want to do within sports, it's like we have to think about that. And we have to think about who are we reaching. Like, even with the nonprofit I founded, when I say we do service work, like, it has taken time and effort and just so much, like, pride for me towards the women who are part of this program to, like, make sure we're targeting the girls who we want to, which is the girls who aren't normally hearing from us. It's mm-hmm. the girls who are in underserved parts of the city. And that's really hard. And it takes more effort to do that. Like, finding that girl who's not in your bubble is so hard. But I think that's the work that more of us should be thinking about and more of us should be really fighting for, and waking up every day and being like, yes, Twitter is giving me a thumbs up, but is it just my mom? Mm-hmm. I don't know.
What does the mentorship side look like? Like, what does that process look like with your team?
So what we've been doing over the last, like, 3 to 4 months was more, like, kind of singular, like, programming, where it was more, like, a one-day, a one kind of afternoon kind of event.
Mm-hmm.
And now we've started off making it more of, like, a cyclical programming, where we're, like, every week the girls are expected to show back up. There's a progression in the programming, and everything's meant to be about healthy sport. So it's, like, a lot of the things that we're talking about is what we're sharing, where it's less like, go do your hurdle drills, and it's more like, hey, so, like, you know how we're all bred to always want to win? Amazing. Mm-hmm. Keep that fire. Do not change that. But don't go into the race being like, I want to win.
Yeah.
Because you're not going to. Go into the race being like, I'm going to try to get out hard. I'm going to progress through and find ways to, like, pull that into your outside life, and it's not just about sports. That was a really, like, 2-second way to describe things that, like, take an hour and, like, months of work. But what we have right now going on is, like, a 4-week session, and we're kind of in this phase of learning and being like, hey, we want feedback from the girls of, like, is that too short? Is that too long? Do you want more check-ins in between? And so I think what we're doing right now isn't necessarily what we're going to do forever, but I think that's kind of the cool part about this is, like, I've just been learning so much from the women we've been working with of, like, what do they need and what do they want? Because I will say, as a white woman with a following, like, I watch a lot of people and they'll just show up and be like, this is what you need and this is what you want and that's what I'm going to give you, and get the hell out. Like, that is not how you handle these things.
Mm-hmm.
Like, mentorship is for that person, not for you. And so, yeah, it's a long way of saying, like, that's where we are right now. But, like, we're excited to change and grow and adapt based on what the girls need, not what makes me feel good.
Yeah. I mean, and it's all trial and error because, again, you're, like, I feel like you're the first person to be doing this. So it is interesting just to see, like, how that's going to change over time with you and your team and even the sport in general. Just getting more people involved in their communities and everything. And I think, honestly, a lot of professional teams, maybe not a lot, but a decent amount of professional teams, I think, are trying to be more community-oriented. Or maybe that's all talk. I don't know.
Yeah.
But
I hope it's not. But I also hope that for the groups that are, again, they're making sure it's not their bubble
community. Yeah, yeah.
Because I think that's what we so often do is, like, the danger to social media is, like, it really does just become you and your friends. And you really start thinking things are normal. And then you have Mary Kane calling you up and being like, hey, not everybody looks that way. Like, just a reminder, stop.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. And again, that sometimes this is hard, right? Because you're like, I'm going to sometimes post that shot of me in a sports bra. I'm like, own your body. Like, love yourself. I don't care how you look. Like, you're amazing. But I also think there's a danger to, like, do you always have to be sucking in your stomach in a photo? Like, I know the tips and tricks to make yourself look skinnier online. Like, I've Googled these things because I want to be able to educate girls on them.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, I'm like, you know, sometimes you see that in the shot and you're like, oh, you really had to do that angle? Really? Really, honey? Like, y'all already weigh 100 pounds. And none of this is, like, ever meant to be critical of the individual themselves, because, like,
no, it's just social media as a whole. I mean, it goes beyond the running world. It's just social media.
Yes. And it's something that if you have a following, like, that is a privilege, you know? People will be like, oh, I earned it. No, you did not. I'm sorry. Like, yeah, I mean, you ran fast, but, like, so did 20 other girls. Like, there's a reason that people are following you, and it's because they want to look up to you. And, like, share in a way that's responsible.
Yeah.
And that takes time. That takes educating yourself. That also takes making mistakes. Mm-hmm. I'm sure I've done things where I look back and I'm like, facepalm, like, whoops. You know? And ask for help. Make mistakes. Like, call up Mary Kane and be like, do you have any advice? You seem like you think about this stuff a lot. But yeah, I feel sometimes these are the conversations that aren't being had because we're all too busy patting ourselves in the back, and I'm the one bitter old lady in the back of the room like, y'all suck!
You guys need to check yourselves.
So we're like, we're doing this for you, Mary. No, you're not. What are you talking about?
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
I love the idea of like trial and error and shooting your shot though that we were talking about earlier. And I'm curious about like how triathlon is going, because that it's such a different sport than running. I mean, running is obviously involved, but, and you're doing, are you doing like ITU? Yeah. Oh my God. Okay. Yeah. That's like draft legal. That's intense.
Yeah.
How is that going? Or okay, before we even say how it's going, how did you get started into it?
Yeah. So this past summer, I guess it was like sometime in July, Joe Malloy, who was a 2016 Olympian, who now runs, by the time it was called CRP,
yeah.
Seemingly it's had a name change. I think it's like National Development. I don't know. Everybody's still calling it CRP. I'm a little lost. Sorry, Joe. Anyway, he actually DM'd me, and people don't get your hopes up. I never check my DMs. I'm really sorry. But I was checking because it was the week that we launched Atlanta.
Yeah.
That's why I know I was checking. And I saw this message from USAT CRP, and it was from Joe, being like, hey, like, you used to swim. Like, let's connect. So I called him up, and I was like, I have always kind of considered doing triathlon. I'm like, I'm kind of at this phase of my life where I just don't. To put it really bluntly, I don't think my body can handle running. I really don't think it can at that level. Or at least not short-term. And short-term, I want something else.
Yeah.
And he was like, cool, we got a camp in a week. And I was just like, let's shoot your shot, Mary! And so I went out. I learned how to, like, clip into a bike. I went for a 45-mile bike ride day two.
Oh, my God.
And I was just halfway through that, I was like, I didn't bring enough snacks.
Yeah.
And between then and now has been, it has not been, like, balls to the wall. Like, it was kind of like, you know, maybe a month of me being like, sure, I'll try this. And then for, like, 2 months went kind of hard, and then I took, like, 10 weeks off, did absolutely nothing, because I realized I needed to take a break and figure out, like, I've taken on a lot in my life. I was kind of at a point where I was trying to help everybody but myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I was sort of like, I need to take a little Mary time and see, like, am I just doing this because I can't run anymore? Or am I doing this because I want to do triathlon? 10 weeks later, I decided I'm doing this because I want to do triathlon. And I called back up the CRP guys, and I was like, let's go.
Let's do it again. Run it back.
Round
<Let's> go.
Two. And since, like, probably, it's probably been, like, 8 weeks now of some start stops. Like, there's just, you know, not, like, I got sick, I didn't do stuff for a week. There's probably been 6 weeks of triathlon. But I'm in it, and I'm, like, truly, truly in it.
Yeah. Well, how is triathlon? Like, do you enjoy it? What's the ups, what's the downs of it so far for you?
Yeah, I love it. I mean, I think, just to give some context, like, I was a competitive swimmer
growing up.
I wasn't, like, you know, my times as a 12-year-old, like, would have gotten me into CRP, like, from swim times.
Yeah.
I was on track, and based on the team I was on, to do very well in swimming as a 7th and 8th grader. I only walked away from it because it was kind of like, I could one day go to the state meet and, like, maybe win versus, like, I can go to the Olympics. So I, you know what I mean?
State meet, Olympics.
Like, D1 swim.
Yeah.
Pro run.
Yeah.
And so that was part of the thing. But I grew up, honestly, only really having positive experiences on swim teams, not really on track teams. Like, mm-hmm. loved my varsity swim team, loved my youth group swim team. High school track sucked, pro track sucked. And so I was kind of like, swimming's a safe space for me.
Yeah.
And I never burned myself out. I never lost
joy. Yeah, I was going to ask, I was like, did you ever feel burnt out from swimming?
I was the girl who, it was like, by the time I, quote unquote, retired from my swim career at 13.
I retired at 11, so I feel that. Transitioned to running, so.
Yeah, exactly. I was at that point where, like, girls were starting to do doubles, and I maybe swam 3 to 4 times a week. And it was at that phase where people, like, I was, like, the usually, like, second to fourth best girl on the team, but, like, everybody swam more than me. So it was kind of at that point where I was, like, okay, like, maybe if I swam
more. Yeah, you gotta bump up the volume.
Yeah, like.
Time to wake up at 4 a.m. before school.
Yeah, and it was just kind of like, no.
Well, you look at, you know, you look at running, I mean, the volume is just so different. Like, you're
different.
You can't just run, you know, more and more and more.
No. Well, my first ever track workout I ever went to, I was just doing the kind of, like, you do a lap, you wait 5 seconds, you do a lap, you wait 5 seconds. And people were like, what are you doing? Like, you don't know anything. And I was like, oh, this is probably
a better workout.
This is probably a better workout than what you're doing. But yeah, I love the swim. It's super cool. Bike, I still don't know what I'm doing. And I'm loving it, though, because it's kind of, like, it's sort of sexy when you're like,
it's so different than running. It's so much more, like, adrenaline-filled. Yes. I can't imagine, like, draft legal racing and everything. Yeah. That seems like a whole nother,
like, kind of same. like, you know, it was funny because I, the week before I did, like, this sprint triathlon, I guess this was last weekend, god, yeah, it's like a week, I, like, announced the fact that I'm doing triathlon stuff, and part of the reason is like, track small, triathlon, there's, like, I said there's 3 people in track, there's 1 person in triathlon, so, like, everybody based on the group that I've joined, like, knew I was in it,
mm-hmm.
and I just started to realize, like, oh my god, like, a little stressed, like, I'm all nervous, like, oh my god. And then I was like, get what? Like, you're only nervous because you're going into this race knowing, like, you haven't done shit. And, like, you don't even know how to, like, get off a bike, which I learned how to do. I do know how to get off a bike now.
Okay, good.
My only skill.
Have you fallen, like, when you were in the cliffs? Like, when you first
started? Oh, 100%.
Started? I mean, I
fell during the photo shoot to announce that I was doing triathlon. Like, I'm, like, I went into this being very, like, I want to come out ahead of doing this race and saying, like, hey, I love this. This is so much fun. I've surrounded myself with awesome people. Like, I'm doing this. But also kind of F off.
Yeah.
Because naturally what happens is that then all of a sudden people take that and it's like, Mary Kane's racing for her pro car.
Yeah.
Mary Kane's going to the Olympics. And I'll be sitting there like, oh my god. I literally sat down to put my shoes on during the race. I took like 45 seconds to clip my helmet on. Don't know what happened there. Like, didn't really know how, like, I didn't know how to put my shoes on. There was, like, in your, when you're biking, like, there were so many things that I had no idea how to do because I haven't done this before. And I loved that. And it made it so fun. And the whole race, I'm, like, laughing. I'm, like, sick during the race. Like, the whole, like, there was literally nothing I did well or right during that, the whole race. But that was the point, you know? But I think what drives me wild is that you will, especially within, like, the running side of things, but in general, you'll have this, like, random, you know, kind of track reporter being like, well, Mary Kane didn't go to pro card. She was only, like, whatever. And I'll be sitting there, like, don't tell kids that. Don't be like, Mary Kane didn't do well at the race. She didn't expect to do well and told everybody she's not going to do well that she didn't do well. Because I know that. I don't care. But if you're communicating that to a young person, like, this is somehow a failure to try new things and not immediately win the Olympics, that is so bad.
It's okay to be new at something.
Yes.
Even if you are a really good athlete, it's okay to try something new and not be the best at
it. Yes, and we should, and I'm, this is not, like, don't, I'm not saying this in, like, celebrate me way.
Yeah.
But, like, we should
just encourage
that, celebrate that, be excited about that, because it's the girls who are constantly trying new things and constantly learning. And even in high school, who are like, I'm still doing soccer, I'm still doing swimming, or in middle school and elementary school. Like, doing different things is good. And I feel because the way sports is structured, those same reporters would be like, well, you know, it's a performance sport and, like, you know, times matter or places matter.
Okay, well, this is my life and I'm doing what I want.
So. Exactly. And it's also one of those things where it's like, yes, but context also matters.
Yeah.
Like, if somebody ran, like, a 35-minute 10K in a torrential downpour and got struck by lightning and got up, like, that matters. We need that context. It's not just a 35-minute 10K, right?
Yeah.
But this sport hides behind results, and I'm back to running. I'm back to being a better runner. It hides behind numbers, and I think our society does this, where we like to be like, it's just business, or like, and I always go deep because we know why I go deep when I say things like this, or like, it's just numbers, like it's just the results, like you know, whatever. You're like, actually, no, though. Numbers mean nothing. You can. If you've ever taken a stats class, and maybe none of these people have taken a stats class, I don't know. The whole thing you learn is, like, you can skew anything. You can make anything. I mean, that's why GMA every other morning, like, coffee's going to kill you or coffee's going to save you. Wine's going to kill you. Wine's going to save you. Because studies mean nothing. It's about how you twist the numbers.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a really long-winded way of me saying, like, I'm having so much fun. I still don't know what I'm doing. I'm joining a group that really knows what they're doing.
But that's the best way to do it.
And that's why I'm excited.
Yeah.
Where I'm like, I show up to practice and I just get throttled. And that is so fun for me.
Yeah, I was like curious, like, how are you handling that mentally? I mean, going from, I don't know, running is like so comfortable. It's like if you've done it for so long and you've had so much success in it, like, how do you go from that to a completely new sport where you're just getting battered every day?
100%. You laugh.
Yeah.
You know, maybe there's, like, one moment of, like, pure panic in the pool where you're like, oh my God. But otherwise, like, you laugh at yourself, you celebrate the people who are doing well, and you bring back that joyous spirit. And I think, you know, one thing that's always bothered me is that there's a space in between being able to laugh at yourself while still taking yourself fully seriously.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I in no way am communicating to anybody that I, like, I'm in this sport because I want to do freaking well at it. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to do everything right. And by that, it means probably nothing right because there's no such thing as right and wrong in sport. But, like, I'm going to, I mean, other than, like, don't do drugs. I mean, but it seems like people can't do that right. But other than that, like, I'm gonna really give my all to this. And I wanna dream big in this sport, but you can do that and also laugh at yourself.
Yeah.
And I find it frustrating that people kind of feel it's like, you either need to be, like, you know, in the pool, like, working it out. I don't even know what the hell that meant. Or you're not taking it seriously.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, no. I can be in there, like, thrashing, like, killing myself to keep up, and still have a giggle at the end where I'm like, damn, those girls are good. Because, like, I've joined Paolo Sousa's squad.
Yeah.
Like, those girls are amazing. Like, Summer Rappaport is one of the best swimmers in triathlon. Like, I've been in the pool with her, and after day one, like, I got out a little early because, like, homegirl at the time had been training for, like, 2 weeks.
The shoulders couldn't move anymore.
Honestly, I went to that camp, and I look back, and I'm like, oh my God, I've been training for 2 weeks, and I just showed up to Paolo's cruise. Like, and they were kind of all like, oh. Like,
I'm just surprised that you threw yourself into it, like, at a camp. You're like, yeah, I'm just like,
100%. I was just like, I want to see what good is.
Yeah.
Because I don't know, like, in track, you can be like, this is what good is here at times.
Yeah.
But in triathlon, I was like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I have no idea. And so I showed up and I was just like, I'm here. I've been training for 2 weeks. I took 10 weeks off. Let's go. And they were definitely all like, what? Like, we're actually really, really good.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, yes, and that is why I'm here.
Yes, and I'm here, and I will follow your lead.
Yes.
You,
and I got out
you
of
take
my,
it, you start the whirlpool in the lane. Let's go.
100%. Got out of my first workout, and I was just like, that was so much fun. And you could tell Paolo was like, you good? You okay?
Yeah.
Like, you stressed? You all good? And I was like, that was the most fun I've had in, like, forever in sport. And I said, because it was so cool being able to be like, that is what is competitive. I'm going to hold on to her feet as long as I can. That's going to maybe be 10 meters, and then I'm going to do it again on the next lap, and I'm just going to do it for as long as I can. And, you know, part of the reason I think I have such a healthy mindset for this is because I've been in sport for a long time, and I've seen what an unhealthy mindset can do, not only to me personally, but people at large. And I'm very cognizant that, like, my sport journey round two, I want to be a little bit more, like, open and share more. And I couldn't do that round one because social media didn't exist when I was starting out. And also, and then it kind of, like, hit a point where it was almost like it was hard for me to share and I didn't want to.
Yeah.
Because I didn't necessarily have the belief in myself that I was talking about that made me resilient to, like, mean people. But now I'm like, no, round two, I have that belief. I have that resilience. And maybe somebody else watching me take this super seriously and still laugh will, like, help them say, like, screw random media thing. Who cares? Mary didn't get her pro card day one. Who cares? I don't get my pro card day one. Let me keep showing up and trying. Yeah.
And I think that comes with age, too. I feel like you just keep learning things along the way. Like you were saying earlier, you look at your 18-year-old self and you're like, I don't even recognize that person.
Oh, my God. That girl is so sad. I think sometimes some people will be like, oh, I went to University of Portland my freshman year. And I'll just be like, oh, I'm so sorry. I'm like, I hope you never saw me. Like the ghost girl who walked around campus probably crying. Like, I'm so sorry you saw that. And like, I said that to one person and they were like, yeah, you did seem really sad. And I was like, oh no. You know, because like, people lived in that dorm building, and I probably was like walking to my dorm crying every single day. And I'm just like.
You lived in the dorms?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. So you were like full on professional runner living in the dorms?
Yes.
That's wild.
Yeah, it was. The whole thing didn't make any sense. Like, none of that made any sense.
I was going to ask, I was like, where did you live in Portland? But
I was in Shipstead dorm represent. Sorry, guys. That part was rough. That was probably really bad. I mean, I had a severe eating disorder and I was severely depressed.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just like, I'm sorry if you saw that. But also, like, I don't know, maybe seeing that made people be like, don't do that.
But you've also, I mean, you've come out the other side. So it's like, it's just, I don't know, keep progressing and learning from past experiences. And like, I mean, it's nice to see you transition to something that, like, you're passionate about and you're excited to like jump on into. And I mean, you want to do well, but also not like putting on this insane pressure on yourself to succeed immediately, because then that like takes the fun out of it too.
Yeah. And I think part of it is too, is like, I don't know, like I watched the Winter Olympics. Like I love watching the Olympics. It's always super fun. And so you always get people will be like, well, do you want to go to the Olympics? I'm like, yeah, like I want to be one of those figure skaters because Nathan Chen's super cool. And I think we'd be friends. Right? Like, that is who I am as a person. Like, I will be 50 sitting on the couch being like, yeah, I want to go to the Olympics. Like, I am a competitive person.
Yeah.
I love sports. I have a drive. Like, that is just a baseline, like, no shit, Sherlock.
Yeah.
Why are we even bringing this up? Like, my mom wants to do that.
You know I want to go to the Olympics. Like, we don't need to talk about
it. But it's also, like, that doesn't make me special.
Yeah.
Like, we have all these stories of people being like, I wanted to go to the Olympics since I was 6, and then I achieved my dream, and I went to the Olympics. And I was like, that's all you wanted to do when you were 6? Like, same. Obviously wanted to be a pro athlete. But, like, also, there was more than just that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, one, I thought I would be in medical school. I thought I was doing Jenny Thompson. You know, didn't happen, but, like, that's okay. Still could, but also I think, I don't know. Yeah. Long way of me saying, like, I think it would be hard to be pregnant in medical school, and at this point I think I'd be, like, an older lady doing it.
Okay, that makes sense.
You know?
What's, like, your main goals for sport, for life? Like, what do you want to get out of the experience of being a woman in sport?
Yeah.
Other than going to the Olympics.
Yeah. I mean, what I want is, like, I want to die knowing the next girl has it better than me. You know? And that sounds really brutal, but I don't think I am, like, I could win the Olympics tomorrow, literally. Like, what's today? 13th?
14th. Me too. I could win the Olympics tomorrow, too.
Literally March 14th. Let's put on the Emma Mary Olympics. We can both win an event.
Literally.
We will then be Olympic champions. And I will look you dead in the eye and say, like, cool.
Yeah.
Like, amazing. Don't want to undersell that. Like, I'm going to be happy.
Like, the Olympic gold medalist listening, they're like, wow, thanks.
Honestly, honey, like, you need to hear this. Because at the end of the day, like, of course I want to do that. Who the hell is that helping?
Yeah.
Is it even really helping you outside of money? And, like, personal achievement and, like,
it's like internal fulfillment.
And, like, and don't get me wrong, like, my mom's gonna be super hyped. But, like, my mom's gonna be super hyped at like a billion things that I do. You know what I mean? Like, my mom was super hyped when I got Nala. Like, I peaked as a child for her, right? Like, there's a certain point where I sound harsh, and in no way am I saying that I don't still dream of these things or want these things or wouldn't be thrilled, but it's just kind of like, that's not the end game.
Yeah.
Because I just look at the way our world of sport is structured, and it's kind of like horrible. And I'm like, I, Mary Kane, want to win the Olympics at this point in my life because I think it would help elevate my voice to create change. I know from experience that the better you do in sport, because of this horrible, toxic nature of how this is set up, you do have more of a voice. Like, you do gain a little bit of agency the better you do.
Yeah.
Hate that. But if I can do that, maybe I can create more change so that's less of a thing. But I'm also like, if that doesn't happen, I'm anyway doing that work.
Yeah.
And yeah, maybe it'll get me a little bit more eyeballs on my team and my missions and the work that I'm doing. But I'm kind of like, if you're just winning an Olympic medal in isolation and there's nothing else to it, cool, brah.
Yeah.
You know? Like, I won, like, no, like, I don't know. Like, I won my, like, state meet as a freshman. Like, who did that help? No one.
Yeah. I mean, that, yeah, I feel like that just creates a lot of internal fulfillment, too. It's just, like, making the sport a better place when you leave it. Like,
yes.
Yeah, I mean, that's awesome. And I think what you're doing is you're making steps towards that. Like, mm-hmm. You're becoming a game changer in the entire world of women's sports, and it's very exciting. I think you're doing a good job so far. So I appreciate it. I'm sure a lot of other people appreciate it. One last question I have is, do you have any advice to, like, your younger self? That's so broad, but is there any, like, overarching piece of advice that you would give?
Yeah. You know, I think maybe what's more helpful is to give it to another girl. And I think the reason is that, like, some of the advice that I would give somebody now, I can't give my younger self.
Yeah.
Because, again, social media didn't exist. Like, in some ways, it was easier to be her than it is to be the girl now. In other ways, it was harder because, like, Mary Kane didn't exist back then except for that girl.
Yeah.
And there was no New York Times piece. So I was kind of lost in a
place. Yeah.
So I think to a younger person now, I would say my biggest piece of advice is to keep shooting your shots. But also,
love that.
Do not be afraid to miss.
Mm-hmm.
And I say that because, like, you know, it's okay to be the girl on the swim team who's like, I'm swimming 3 to 4 days a week, they're swimming 7, but, like, this is part of my process. Like, I'm going to progress. I look at a lot of people, like, even now that I'm in the sport of triathlon, who, like, I'll just see young people, and they'll be already training 25, 30 hours a week. And I'm just like, I don't know where you go from here.
Yeah.
And I think as a young person, don't hold yourself back. Don't be like, I'm this age, so I can't speak up, or I don't have a voice, or I don't matter. But also be like, I don't need to be a 25-year-old tomorrow. I don't need to be a 30-year-old tomorrow. Like, you can be where you are right now as a rock star, stand up for yourself, dream big, do all those things, but also not feel like you have to be the girl next to you, the girl behind you, the girl in front of you, or the girl who is 10 years older than you, you know? And I think that's why, for me, like, I recently made my Strava public after, like, much hemming and hawing on my part, because my biggest concern with that and my biggest frustration with people who post about their training is that I'm, like, always give a context warning.
Yeah.
Like, I'm a 25-year-old
Do
woman
not copy me.
Who has done this for years. And don't get me wrong, if you look at it right now, there'd probably be some triathletes like, oh, honey, I'm not doing your training. I barely train. And I'll be like, I had a cold this week. I'm sorry. I was doing the responsible thing. But in all seriousness, like, I think there is going to be information overload if you want to find it. And at the end of the day, like, believing in yourself and your own path is always going to make you resilient to whatever Jenny down the street is doing, or whatever the hell that crazy Mary Kane girl's doing. You know?
Yeah.
And I think even, like, role models who you're like, well, they seem to be doing it right. Like, you know, like, they seem to be doing a good job. Also don't copy them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, also don't copy the people who are doing it right. Because at the end of the day, like, you do not know anybody except for yourself. Like, literally.
Yeah.
Like, who the hell are you, Emma?
Yeah, no, you don't know what's going on behind the scenes at all, ever.
Never.
Yeah.
You know, you don't know what they're eating, you don't know what they're, how they're sleeping, you don't know what the rest of their day looks like, and, I mean, this is something I think a lot about, where it's like, I don't just do sports right now in my life.
Yeah.
And that affects what I can do in sports. Not in some negative, like, again, insert Mary's deep voice of, like, you can't do as much. No, I don't mean that.
Yeah.
But it might mean I have to sleep more.
Yeah.
It might mean I have to eat more. It might mean I have to, like, protect times, or, like, I'm going to respond better to working in the evening and mm-hmm. exercising in the morning. And, like, those things I might be making decisions about for reasons other than sport. And, like, unless you know that,
mm-hmm.
you don't know that.
Yeah. Well, I love this conversation, and I just love talking to you. I mean, it's a long time coming. I really just wanted to talk to you and, like, hear about your experiences and everything, because I love the concept of shooting your shot, because I'm the same way. I just shoot my shot, see what sticks, see what I like to do. A 25-year-old.
Gotta do it.
Transitioning, like, out of competitive running. It's just, like, interesting to always hear, and, like, being an entrepreneur, too, just changing the way things are done. It's awesome. So where can people follow you if they don't already?
Yeah, I guess on social media, I think I'm Run Mary Kane. I guess it's Instagram and Twitter. And then our Instagram handles for my team is AtalantaNY. That's both on Instagram and Twitter. And then our website's AtalantaNYC.com if you want to check us out or you want to reach out.
Yeah, is there any way, like, people can support you?
Yeah, I mean, I honestly, like, I'm at a place in my life where it's like, when I have people reach out about me individually, I'm like, that's so nice, thank you, but here's my team.
Yeah.
I'm like, here's the other women who I love.
Yeah.
And so I think just, like, reaching out through those platforms, like, definitely is the way to go. Because if you reach out to me directly, I don't really
read my DMs. I don't read my DMs, yeah.
And even, like, the one weird day where I will, like, I'm going to be like, so Atalanta.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of that is just because I'm really, really here to walk the walk.
Yeah.
You know, like, I think after doing my New York Times piece, it was a really eye-opening experience for me. And I think there are a lot of people who stop there. And I think this world would be a much better place if people kept going, if they used that as actually their beginning and not their end.
I love that. Well, thank you so much, Mary, for coming on the show. Love talking to you. To close out the podcast, can we get a good old peace out, fellas?
Peace out, fellas.
Thank you guys so much for listening to today's episode of Combos Over Cold Brew. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope the audio was okay, because again, I did it in person and I never do podcasts in person, and I also did not have my microphone on me, so thank you for bearing with me on that. I hope you enjoyed the episode with Mary and got to know her a little bit better. Again, thank you so much for rating and reviewing on Apple Podcasts. It seriously means the world. If you don't already follow us on Instagram, go check us out at Combos Over Cold Brew Pod on that platform to be up to date on the latest episodes and to submit listener questions. Thank you all so much for listening again, and I will catch you all next week. Peace out, fellas.
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home, and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at IPVanish.com/audio.